You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's episode 260, holy cow, of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Happy Monday. The weather here is absolute garbage. So if you're listening to this and you're close to us and you're experiencing the same garbage, hopefully this cheers you up and we can have some fun and talk some golf and get your week going. So tonight's episode is brought to you, and every episode is brought to you by Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the world, the whole wide world.
Wow.
On the wide web or whatever on the internet, it's the best one there is. The AFC and the NFC championships have been played. The Super Bowl is set. When we're recording this, it's about halftime of the Bengals and the Chiefs. So if you wanted to go hit a little halftime line, second half line, you can do anything, but the Super Bowl odds are going to be out. There are going to be a ton of prop bets. We're going to talk about some of those fun prop bets, when they're released. Sign up today. Use coupon code BLEAV, BLEAV. Get a 50% welcome bonus. Give them $100. They're going to give you that $100 in betting money and then throw $50 more on top of it. So have a blast. Make some money. Bet online. It's where the game starts. Ben, we talked about this. We've talked about this all last week, but Torrey, the Farmers Open, or whatever you want to call it, championship at Torrey Pines was this weekend. We'd say that's pretty much the kickoff. That's like opening day for us. As far as the PGA Tour, it's a lot of times people's debut. It's a lot of times it's, one of the early best fields. And it was a good tournament. It always is. Weird. They did not want to compete with football, so it ended on a Saturday, which was a little bit different. Max Homa shoots a final round 66 to go and take the Farmers Insurance Open. That's the name of it, the Farmers Insurance Open. He's a Cali guy, plays good in California, and I called it when we played. Now, granted, I think when we had the episode on Friday, I think he was like maybe six shots back. I think he was – or four or five shots back.
Yes. Like, yeah. Yeah,
I just felt like, he'd go on a run, and he did. He did. Keegan Bradley also made a charge. It's good to see him kind of back and playing good golf. The top five of the leaderboard was great. Homa, Bradley, Morikawa, Thigala, and Sungjae Im. I mean, that's a star. And then Sam Ryder. And then John Rahm's right back there. His winning streak ended at two.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He had a tough go, man. The final group were all over par. Tony Finau, John Rahm, and Sam Ryder. They were playing right behind the guys that were kicking their butt, with Bradley being two groups in front of Homa, and then Homa being right in front of them. Homa and Morikawa, and of course Morikawa, if he also shoots six under like Homa did, he shot three under. He shoots six under. He and Homa are going to a playoff. By the way, when you guys are listening to this, it is Kyle's birthday. So everybody give Kyle happy birthday. So happy birthday there, buddy.
Today it will be, when you're listening to this, so today is my birthday. 37 years old. How about that?
Goodness gracious alive. Don't look a day over 45.
Getting there. I've got some miles on me. How about that?
Exactly. So what? But I told you before we came on, I said, how much of it is Homa winning it? And how much is Sam Ryder absolutely blowing it? And I sat because I rewatched it this morning because Kyle and I played golf on Saturday, so missed it. I had a fantastic time on Saturday. You'd have to ask Kyle in person how his day was.
Yeah, it's not good.
And they had pretty much mailed it in that Sam Ryder was going to win this thing. It was either on 12 or 13 or 14. It had to. I think it was 14 because I said that's where the jinx came in. Amanda Balionis, or Amanda, whatever her name is now, she got married. She grabs Sam Ryder's mom out of the crowd, and they walk down a couple of holes with one another. Mm. And she starts talking about, her mom gave her wish list and said, my wish list is that I'm there when you make a hole in one. My wish list is there when you get your first win. And here I am. And I was like, oh,
you did it. That's how you do it.
What did it?
That's how you do it. Textbook.
And when I saw that this morning, and then he gets to 15 and he doubles.
Yep.
And then he bogeyed 17 too. I mean, the bogey didn't hurt as bad as the double, because the double just, it's almost like he doubles at the same time that Max is birdieing on 16. Because Max is group ahead of him. Max had one of the few birdies on 16. That thing was playing, it was 225 to pin with the wind. They said it was playing anywhere from 245 to 259. And he threw an iron up there to have been about, within about 10 feet and made the putt. So he birdied 16 while behind him, Sam is double in 17. And that was it. So,
yep.
I mean, double in 15.
Doubled 15. And he missed and he had a like an 8-footer for bogey. So like yeah. he didn't play the hole bad. That's what just off the green. He just missed a fairway, hit a bomb, mm-hmm. just missed a fairway. He was in the deep, deep rough. So like he could barely advance it. But he got it in good position and he sculled a wedge across the green and then he chunked his chip. And then, I experienced a lot of that Saturday. So I could feel it, feel what he's going through.
Yeah. But he literally played himself out. But I blame Amanda, CBS, and his mom.
Why do people do that? Like, you got to know better.
I don't know. Cause at that point in time,
He was one over on the front nine. Like, that could have easily, like, it ain't like he was just playing so strong. Like, it was just going to, you know, he was going to run away with it.
At one point in time, Homa had tied the lead twice, but then bogeyed to go back behind it. Like, he was right there.
Yeah.
And you've got that par five that you got to think Homa's probably going to birdie to wrap things up to end it. So, or eagle, possibly he has the link to get there and make it eagle. Like, when CBS decided to do that, and because – apparently they had talked about it before, because Amanda said, you know, we were talking last hole when you and I were walking, share with everybody what you said, what you told me about the goals. And it was the hole in one. And then my goal is to be there and watch him win. And here I am to watch him win. And I was like,
he's
going to look back at that, broadcast, or somebody's going to tell him about it. And he's going to be like, mom, don't ever do that again.
Never, never, never.
I appreciate you coming to my tournaments and I'll still pay to put you up every time you come. Do not do any interviews and count all the chickens before they've hatched, please.
Yep. Not getting a ton of headlines, but Ricky Fowler, another top 15 finish. So he's got two top 10s and a top 15.
Yep.
Sneaky having a good season at 21 on the FedEx Cup points. So,
got Butch Harmon back on his, teaching him again.
Yeah. The swing's totally different.
He switched clubs. He's gone to some muscle/cavity backish type stuff. He's not hitting those little blades anymore. And so he shot even on the final round yesterday. But, you know, for the most part, he had a decent tournament. I mean, he finished at 500 total. And again, a top 25 finish, which he hadn't seen. He hadn't sniffed the top 25 in probably 2-3 years, I mean, I would think. So yeah. And you know, he's one of our favorites. We talk about him all the time. I mean, you know, Matsuyama made a charge. He had an unbelievable front nine yesterday. He went out in 30 on the front.
That's strong.
And then he had a few bogeys on the back. So it never really caught. And he missed. He pulled a Jordan Spieth. The one putt, he had like a almost a tap in birdie. It wasn't tap in. It was like 3 feet. It's like he hurried up there to hit it and he ran it by. It's like, what are you doing, man? So he had a decent day but that just amazed. What stuck out in my mind with the round was Rahm, Finau, and Sam Ryder all shooting over par in the final group. And the bad part is they showed them most of the damn coverage was on them, and they weren't playing well, and everybody else is playing up to them.
Yeah,
the Keegans of the world. I mean, they finally started showing some Keegan Bradley shots. Morikawa. Of course, they showed Homa shots just because Homa's got the local tie-in and all that. But Sahith Theegala, you didn't get to see him play any until he got to like 15, and he made a charge, on the final day. So,
well, Ben, you're going to get
do that.
If you commit to the joggers, you're going to get TV time. You're going to get TV time. Yes. Sam Ryder, looked awesome. He had like some, like they looked like the Primo wine color joggers with black socks, black like foot joys, black shirt. He looked good. He looked good. It was a good look. I may have to order some of those wine colored joggers. So I'm pretty much all in on joggers. I think I'm all in 100% on joggers. And
yesterday was the perfect day. Kyle wore them yesterday when we played.
Yeah.
He wore the navy blue ones, right? Isn't that what they were?
Yes.
And I even told him when we were out there, I said, I wish I'd have worn mine. That yesterday was like the perfect temperature to wear them, like 55 to 60 degrees.
Beautiful.
You don't get too hot. I was getting hot in my pants, but I knew shorts was going to be a bad call. So, and I think that's about what they played in out in San Diego or La Jolla as well. Whenever they were playing at Torrey, it was right around 50 to 55 degrees.
Perfect. So, perfect. If you want to try joggers, check out Primo Golf Apparel. They're one of our, they've been with us for a really long time. I feel like they were the first big company to push hard for the joggers for golf in pro golf, not like on tour. And they got several guys on tour that wear it on the Corn Ferry a bunch, and then several. I mean, there's a couple on the big tour as well. Use coupon code DADPOD15 take 15% off your order. They got like, I don't know, 10-12 colors. And they're working on, if you're not fully committed to the jogger, they're working on some pants that will that still taper at the bottom, but it doesn't have the cuff at the bottom. Just regular, like, you know, just like your Lululemon pants. They got polos now. They got the blade collar. They got regular collars. They got hoodies, all kind of stuff. Belts, really good belts at great value as well. So check them out. Those guys are great. They got everything you need. Primo Golf Apparel. So they changed the game. They changed the game with the jogger. So show them some love. Moving on, there's a lot more to talk about in this tournament, I feel like, but it's not quite over yet, which I hadn't quite figured out yet. But the
they had a rain delay.
Is that what it was? That
yeah,
I didn't know weather. It rained in the desert. How about that?
They had a weather delay that basically they skipped a whole round, so they're doing it a day late.
The Hero Challenge or whatever in Abu Dhabi, United or UAE, wherever it is.
It's the Dubai Desert Classic.
Dubai Desert Classic. There you go. The Hero Dubai Desert Classic. Rory, sort of, and I'm just guessing he's probably going to go ahead and win it. He shot 7 under. I actually had trouble sleeping last night and ended up watching, which last night would have been Saturday night. I ended up watching a lot of him actually play. So he went on a tear. Wasn't making anything over like 6-7 feet. He was just knocking everything stiff.
Oh, wow. Well, he shot 7 under. He had the round of the day.
It was fun to watch. So like I said, he's got like a 3 or 4 shot lead going into, you know, when we're recording this, he's probably about 4 or 5 hours from teeing off, and then he'll finish around 6 or 7 a.m. today. Like, so when if you're listening to this, he's probably just finishing up. A couple of different ways we can go with this. Number one, Patrick Reed had another classic, like, rules Patrick Reed thing, where he gets a favorable ruling. Basically, if you saw it, he hooks his ball over in the trees, and they can't find it. And they're like looking around the tree, and then they see there might be a ball up in the tree, but there's no way to really positively identify it. And they look at it through binoculars or like through some sort of like something to like zoom it in. He's like, oh yeah, that's definitely mine. Which, you know, it probably was, but there's just no way to. There's no way.
Like, I read another story. I'm going to cut you off here and tell you this, because this is another reason that I'm pissed off at social media and media members in general, because here we are defending Patrick, or at least I am, and I'm fixing to tell you why I'm defending him. Because headline, clickbait, you click on it, and it says Patrick Reed involved in another rules controversy. There was no controversy. When the official came over, before he even allowed Patrick Reed to use his binoculars, Patrick Reed explained to him how he marks up his ball. He extends the arrow on the Pro V1 and puts a larger arrow on there because he didn't think that the arrow on the Pro V1 is like long enough. He said, so it's going to have a drawn arrow on there in black. You'll be able to see it if that's what shows. And he told him the number, Titleist, whatever it is. And so then the guy looks up there and he said, is that it? And hands him the binoculars. And he goes, yep, that's it. And it was even both tour officials that looked at it said it's exactly what he described before they even allowed him to look at it.
Yeah.
But yet everybody keeps going, he's cheating again. No, like you got two guys that literally looked at it with him. He described what his ball looked like, and that's the ball they saw before he even saw it.
It just seems I'm with you, but it just seems like it. I mean, that was way up there. Like,
oh, it follows him. It the controversy stuff follows him. I mean,
you lose the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, there was even a reference to it in the Farmers when they had Homa mic'd up on Friday, and his ball embedded just beyond. And as soon as he got in the lead, he says, "I am not touching that. I'm not touching it." We've seen where that leads. You know what that leads to. And he was referring to Patrick Reed in that same tournament doing that and touching his ball first before calling the official. And so he has had controversy. However,
this is not one of them.
In this instance, it wasn't, but yet the low-hanging fruit was for the media to grab it and say, oh, he's cheating again. It's like, no, he cheated before.
Yeah.
But he was not cheating this time.
Sure. Yeah, so once you're a cheater, though, you're under the microscope. So,
well, it's one thing, the cheater thing, you've heard guys, they talk about how they'll improve their lie a little bit on the green by moving their mark either right or left of their ball. They're not supposed to do that. And so they say they like do it once, and once they get caught, they don't ever do it again. Well, Patrick Reed's been caught. Like, I think this would have been his fourth time. If this would have been a cheating thing, this would have been his fourth time doing so. It's like, bro, you've got to quit. Like, now you've got a reputation. Like, you do it once. When you did it the first time, it's like, crap, now they figured me out. I'm a cheater. I got to quit doing it. And you continue to do it.
Yeah. So we had to talk to some friends. I was on the range. I don't know, one of the days into the end of the week on the range. A buddy of mine said, "Hey, I got to ask you, are you Team Rory or Team Patrick?" I was like, "I'm aggravatedly Team Patrick. Like, I don't want to be Team Patrick, but I'm Team Patrick." And he's like, "Me too, man. I think Rory's being a huge, you know what?" Well, then we're mutual friend. This guy and me are mutual friends with Blaine. So Blaine. Okay. Blaine Barber. So he group texts Blaine, and he's like, "Kyle and I are both on Team Patrick Reed. How does that make you feel?" And he was like, "I want someone to explain to me how you could possibly be on Patrick Reed's side, on the side of Patrick Reed." I said, "This is why, because Rory should have said, 'Hey, Patrick, how are you? How many strokes do you want? I'm about to beat your ass,' basically." That's what he should have said.
Please instead, don't tell me you put that in a text to Blaine. Blaine's so nice. He wouldn't say that word. He wouldn't say
that. I did say that. And instead, he's like, "Oh, no, I'm not going to talk to you because I'm, you know, my feelings are hurt." And then Rory goes out there and he's blistering it. He's killing it.
Oh, yeah. Especially so, like, yesterday's round. He waxed everybody.
Yeah. Like, so just do that. Like, just be the better golf. Like, just beat everybody. Like, just beat them. I just don't get the petty childish stuff, like, because you can absolutely back it up, and like you're going to back it up.
An alpha, you're not being an, you know where, and the fact that the PGA Tour has hung their hat on him, which, by the way, he's all pissed with Reed and his lawyers and stuff for the subpoena. You need to be mad at the PGA Tour. They're the ones that put you up. That's why you were named, because you were one of the ones that was outspoken about Liv. And how anti-Liv you were, Mr. Rory. And so now that's why your ass was named in the suit. If you'd have kept your mouth shut, and like Kyle said, just said, let them do what they want to do. I'm going to beat their ass regardless. Wherever they want to play, whenever they want to play, I'm going to beat their ass.
Yes.
And except at Augusta, because I can't win there. You have to say that.
I bet he gets it done this time. I bet he gets it done at Augusta this time.
I think he's got if he keeps what he's doing up where he can play well. See, I think the Augusta thing is just mental. I think he just has a tough time getting over it. I think that one hole years ago has completely screwed him up, that he had like a snowman on. I forgot which
on
one
10.
It was. Is that one it was? It was 10? I think that is just completely royally. I think when he gets a 10 every time, he's so scared.
You can't – have you ever – you've been to Augusta, right?
Yeah.
So don't like this is way off topic, but like that shot, that drive, have you seen where he hit from, where he hit his second shot from that time when he had the big number? I've yet to figure out how Rory McIlroy could have ended up there. Like I cannot figure out how he went so immediately hard left. Like it had to be like snatch, hosel, left, hit a tree, go further left. Like I it's mind blowing
If
how
I
he got to
remember
where.
correctly, I think the tree he the kind of what you all said all happened. I think I remember them slowing it down, and I think I remember it hitting the tree and kicking it left.
Yeah, but there is no tree. That's the thing. Like the trees that would have got it to where it is, he had to have like snatched it immediately left.
Yeah,
Like,
because they're right off the tee box. Not right off because they play from the tips, but they're far enough down where they could clear him if they decide to go over him with a big cut. But if he hit a low hooker, yeah, it had to have gone right off the
I mean,
tee into those
snatch.
trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway,
Kind
that's
of what I did a couple of times on Saturday. He had to hit some of those.
a pull going left,
Yeah.
basically.
Little pull hook. And but anyway, getting back to him, I think that these next 3 years, if he plays well these next 3 or 4 years, I think he's at least going to be in the mix. I would say he wins there because I still think that he's got some demons in his head. I mean,
The
clearly,
hole out from the bunker, though. The hole out
Patrick
from the
Reed,
bunker ended it.
yeah, to for what, tie for ninth or
No,
something?
second, man. Solo second. He
Oh, is
holed
that what it
out.
was?
Yeah, remember? The funnest time
Congratulations
he's
to
ever
him.
had playing golf.
That's right. That's what he said. Funnest time he's ever had playing golf. And his good buddy, Colin Morikawa, was right there with him to do the same thing.
Come in second.
Yeah.
No, but I think he's been playing great.
Yeah.
And then he can just turn it on, man. He can turn it on. And like I said, he was making 6 footers for birdie. Like not making bombs. Not, I mean, he just throwing it up there tight, hitting bomb
Yeah.
drives down there. The only boo-boo that I saw him make on 18, he had a 4 or 5 shot lead. And on 18, he had like 240, 250 in. And I think he kind of fatted his 3 wood a little bit.
Yeah.
He was trying to cut a 3 wood in. I think he kind of fatted it a little bit, hit it in the water. Then he threw a wedge up there fairly close and missed the putt. So he made bogey. So he dropped back 1 shot. So he's going to go in with like a 3 or 4 shot lead, maybe a 3 shot lead. More than likely, he's going to, unless he has an epic meltdown, which if he
Yeah.
does, then this whole show is going to sound stupid. I don't think he will, but I mean, he
I will
won't.
say, getting back to that conversation you had with your buddy, and then you involved Blaine in on
Yeah.
right now, yes, I am team Patrick Reed. Like I told you before we came on the show, I said Reed right now is 4 shots off the lead. I hope he goes out there and shoots 10 under, and that makes Rory have to shoot at least 5 or 6 under. And or a more epic thing that would happen is if Reed ties him and they have to go into a playoff, and basically they start where the tournament they finish where the tournament started, which was them going at each other, and now they'll be going at each other at the end. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Rory's just played too good a golf right now. Having a 4-shot lead over him and a 3-shot lead over the next guy, who I don't even recognize the next two names that are tied for second. So I don't think Rory's going to be pressured very much by those two guys. So I
Right.
think really only Reed can make a run at him. I told you that Poulter's down there about 5 shots, or no, he's 4 shots back too. He could. Other than that, Thomas Peters has got the link to really. He shot even today, so if he bounces back and has a 5 or 6 under day, he could make a run. But other than that, once you get like past the top 10, I think the scores are just too low. Nobody's going to make a run at him.
Yep.
He's basically got three guys to fight off, and that's probably it.
Did you see Phil's comments? Phil Mickelson's comments about
Yes,
Rory's third round?
he had I got it pulled up. What a great 7 under third round by he even tagged him. That's what I do. See, that's an
Yeah,
alpha move, Rory.
that
You
is.
tag the guy. You know what? You're not an alpha because you wouldn't have done this.
Yeah, Phil's not subtweeting anybody.
At McIlroy in Dubai,
All
spelled in all
caps.
caps, by the way. to open up a 3-shot lead. See if he can finish it off. Watch live final round action from the Middle East on the Golf Channel, because the Golf Channel, of course, has also been anti-lib this entire time. So
from the Middle East, he's like saying several things to let you know that it's the same people that
it's the same buzzwords they used.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, to be anti-lib. I still wonder when it's going to come out that Rory got an appearance fee for this.
I mean, we should be able to look that up pretty easy. He does. Does he typically open the year here? Is that what he said? Because I think he did say this is the first time he's ever won in his season debut. So I wonder if this is the one, if he's ever won this before, if this is the one he opens to. But regardless,
I don't know why other guys are not. Well, I guess because it's a DP World Tour event. But like, yeah, this is one that Bryson's played in, that a couple of live guys have played in before. I don't know that JT or I think Spieth has played in this one a couple of times before. And I think they do it just to go over there and get their, you know, their DP World Tour points that they can.
You gotta play four of those events or something like that, the flagship events.
And since they're definitely not, you know, since the DJs and Bryson's are not going to be playing at the Farmers Open in Torrey, I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't play in this, but I guess they got their schedule already figured out, because they do want those points so they can be at the British Open or the Open Championship.
Right. Phil did. I'm a little bit mad at him though, because before that tweet, he had a pretty much of an anti. He had an anti-jogger tweet, which really aggravated me. And I think he's trying. I think he was trying to be like, y'all don't let us wear shorts, but you let this guy wear joggers with his ankle showing, with ankle sock. Like, what are we doing? But then he attacked the style. He said, you know, I'm no fashion guy.
Yeah,
but there are some things I won't ever understand. In other words, he was not a fan of that look, and that makes me
happy. I think that tweet is supposed to be an anti-PGA Tour tweet.
Oh, sure.
I don't think it was a slant on joggers as much, or definitely not a slam on Sam Ryder. I mean, Phil's never going to wear joggers, that's for sure. Yeah. Because that was when Liv said that they were going to allow players to wear shorts. And PGA was like, we would never do that. That's not golf. That's not professional, blah, blah, blah. Why pick that time? It's got to be anti-PGA because joggers have been around for a while. Ricky tried to pull it off because Puma made him some a few years ago, and it just didn't take because they bunched up at the bottom. They didn't look as clean as these look, like the Primo ones that you and I have.
Yes.
I think once they went to that clean look like Primo does, because Primo does a good job if you can get short, regular, or long.
Yeah.
And you used to, when you bought joggers, it was just one length. So they all bunched up at the bottom if you had short legs like Ricky Fowler. So they didn't look good. But now that you can get fitted, I think that joggers are here to stay.
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to take over. They're going to take over.
But they don't take over because the fat guys aren't going to wear them.
That's true. But the game is getting more athletic, more younger. So I think there's going to be a lot more dudes wearing. Let me tell you something that should take over in your golf bag, and that is your Blue Tees rangefinder. That should take over the number one item that you want to make sure you have outside of your clubs. You got to have a rangefinder to play golf fast, play golf efficient, and play golf good. And there's no reason to pay the top dollar anymore when you got a Blue Tees rangefinder that has all the features that the top guys have at a fraction of the price. Save big. Use coupon code DADBOD. Take another 10% off already incredibly low, an already incredibly low price. Why not? You got all, like I said, you got the toggle on and off slope. So if you play in tournaments that don't allow it, you can just toggle it off. Locks buzz lock onto the pin, the magnet, the nice carrying case, scan mode. We don't even talk about that much anymore. Scan mode where you can just like shoot trees and bunkers and know, kind of chart the course.
That came in big yesterday. I wanted to mention that, the scan mode, because there was, I forgot what hole it was. It was on the back because I told Kyle I didn't trust the yardage because the darn wind was blowing. So I couldn't keep the damn rangefinder still.
Yeah.
So I just flipped over to scan mode and basically started shooting everything that was semi close to what the pin looked like. And I was able to finally lock in my yardage and get what I wanted just because I mean, on the windy days like that, it's, I mean, it's, you know, all the flags, we've got that little thing at the top. It usually, but when the wind's blowing and the flag's whipping and you're kind of moving like this out in the fairway, it, you know, you put on the scan mode and you can figure it will hit something. I can promise you that.
Yep. It's great. It's a great feature. Save big. And just, there's don't go spend $600-$700 on a rangefinder anymore. It's just dumb. You can get Bluetooth speakers, wireless Bluetooth speakers, along with the rangefinder, all kind of other swag. It's great. Blue Tees, rangefinders is where rangefinders start. I don't know. It's just, they're awesome. They're awesome and they don't cost a ton. So
I was giving them that tagline they didn't even ask for, but I love it.
There you go. All right. So let's wind it up with a would you rather. I'm going to amend it a little bit.
Okay.
We'll give you three options. Okay. Three options. You get to pick. We talked about world golf ranking. You know, John Rahm doesn't really understand the calculations. You know, Greg Norman's like number two all time, as far as most weeks at number one, but nobody really ever talks about it. Is it really that like desirable? And then you got the FedEx Cup, you know, being the best golfer of the year, essentially, if you win the FedEx Cup. So I'm going to give you three scenarios. You can choose this. This is for 1 year, one time. That's it. Okay. You can be world golf number one for the whole year. You can win the FedEx Cup 1 year, or you can win one major that's not the Masters. What do you take?
I'm still going my original thought. I'm still going FedEx Cup winner.
Okay.
Because that means you've won some decent tournaments. You don't have to win all majors because you can win.
You don't have to win a tournament.
No, you can finish top 10 a bunch and you can be right up there at the top. And so, number one, you're going to make a lot of money throughout the year and then you're going to make that big chunk of change at the end.
I take that back. You got to win the last tournament, but. If you're up there, you get the lead. You know, you get to have the
yes, you get a huge lead. If you can be number one going into that last tournament, you get a really big head start. So I told you I take that. I mean, and part of the reason is what you were just talking about being ranked number one. You know, you got Tiger, that's never gonna be attainable. And it does not, and I understand you broke it down for me and you said, well, you know, Rahm's got to also look at the formula where guys that finish a little bit better than you or that finish second that are ahead of you, then you don't get as many, you know, they still get world ranking point, that kind of thing. Because we talked about how Rahm brought that up. Because Rahm made a good point. He said, man, I've won like six times out of the last 4 months, dating back to the last season and moving into this season. He's like, and I hadn't even moved up in the world rankings. Like, that's stupid. And I agree with him. I think that is stupid. I mean, I understand the formula and how it also depends on who you beat and who finishes where and all that kind of stuff. But if you're winning, if you beat out 120 golfers that week and you've done it six times and, you know, in the last eight tries or whatever, damn it, you should be number one. I'm sorry. That's just the way I feel. I mean, at some point in time, you got to look at wins and losses. And I don't think they factored that in. But I'd have to go FedEx Cup just because – that's turned out to be one of my favorite things. You know, some people don't like it. Some people are like, FedEx Cup is stupid. Then they get that head start at the end when they go to Atlanta. I'm a big fan. I like it. I like the way the process works. I think it's great. Sure. I've compared it to when you get the big head start in Atlanta. Everybody's like, you get the big head start. I was like, yeah. In the NCAA tournament, guess what? The number one ranked team gets to play the 64th ranked team. Like, that's how that is. You get rewarded at the end of the season for having a good season. That's how that works.
Yep. So yep. I mean, that's a very good comparison. I like that, but I just don't understand how this doesn't get more talk about being the world number one. I think being the number one golfer in the whole world, like FedEx Cup is only the PGA Tour. Like there's DP World Tour. There's other dudes out there being the number one of all of them. Like, I kind of feel like that's there's got to be a number one. So there's probably there's a lot of number ones, but like just being number one in the world, it just, I don't know. That's you're an extremely, extremely elite group of golfers.
And a lot of those that go towards that, like the, you know, the WGC events and that kind of stuff. I mean, you got to be
winning those.
We love Augusta. Kyle's right, though. That is one of the weakest fields as far as golf is concerned when you go to Augusta. Same thing with any of those invite tournaments, you know, like Jack's tournament at Memorial. I mean, that's invitational. And so if you don't get picked, you could be – I mean, he usually invites the best golfers, but still, if he decides not to pick you, like DJ not getting picked last year, then, you know, that's just – And I think, Kyle, though, do you think, even though you said that you're going to go with World, is that diminished now that LIV has been created? Because you got DJ that's up there in the top 25, and he doesn't even play any PGA Tour events, and he only plays a limited amount just so he can establish points on the DP World Tour.
That's a good point.
If he can be top 25 not playing in the last 2 years on that tour.
I still think so because – I mean, in reality, how many dudes on the LIV are really going to challenge? Like, are really going to challenge for that number one? Cam Smith is he's number four right now, still somehow. And then who else? DJ maybe? Healthy Brooks?
DJ, possibly Brooks, and then
Bryson. Are you really losing a lot of like would-be competition? I don't know. I just don't think there's that many.
Maybe Abraham Answer, because he'll play in a lot of
There's no way. He'll never be world. He was never going to be world number one.
No, not world number one, but I mean, he'll challenge to be up there at the top and knock people back just because he plays in all those dadgum South American events and stuff like that that establishes points.
I still say yes just because I don't think this huge swath. I mean, the freaking top 10 right now, you have Rory, Scotty, Rom, Cam Smith, Cantlay, Xander, Zalatoris, Colin Morikawa, Justin Thomas, Matt Fitzpatrick. So you're number one. If you're number one out of those 10, like you're an amazing golfer. you're absolutely fantastic. And I think that to me, I don't think the official world golf ranking number one gets enough. I don't think it's enough. I think it's awesome. I think it's the coolest thing next to winning a major. But I still would take being number one over just winning one major, because you could be Danny Willett and like everybody makes fun of you, like because you're
yes
or Trevor Immelman and like you're you know even though you won a major, it's like people kind of mock you. Like, no, I don't feel like really anybody would ever mock the world number one, like ever. You know what I mean?
No, because I'll say that you, until you get past probably 20, I think all these guys could all challenge to be world number one, and all of them are on the PGA Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Except for what's his name? Cam Smith.
You know, and then Joaquin Neiman's right there at 22, which he's probably dropped some since, you know, whatever.
But see, this thing like the Joaquins and even the Shane Lowrys who's above him, or Brian Harman, you know, Keegan, Terrell, you know, some of these guys, are they really guys when they show up at a tournament, you probably think, all right, that's an automatic top 10. So you can actually say out of the top 10 on this list, if they show up at a tournament, they're a favorite to win.
Yes. See, John Rahm was plus 350 to win at Torrey, which is like absurd.
Once you get below 20, Shane Lowry's not going to Torrey and being favored to win. That just ain't going to happen.
Right.
And so, yeah, that is amazing, though, that Cameron Smith, of course, he didn't go live until the end of the season. So, I mean, technically, he hadn't had a chance to drop off. And then when you look, when I'm looking at Curl rankings and it talks about events played, I mean, that's one reason Scheffler's up there. He's played in 52 events, which is like six or seven or eight more than everybody else. So,
yeah, he's racking up the points.
Yeah.
All right.
So you go world number one, I go FedEx Cup winner.
Okay. I like it.
I can't play on the LIV Tour and make a ton of money, but that's fine.
Well, I can't play on the LIV Tour and become world number one.
If you're Cameron Smith, I guess.
Unless you're Cam Smith and you win all four majors.
Then you can be number one. That's how that works.
I'm so anxious to see how they play at the Masters. I think that's just going to be, so incredible. And I'm going to be there for a practice round. I'm hoping I'm going to wear a LIV Golf hat.
Oh my gosh.
If I can find one. How hilarious.
They may kick you out. Yeah. You know, they may say you're not wearing that here. I will say, and you and I talked about it on one of the previous pods. I know we got to get out of here, but the Augusta sets up for the Cam Smiths, DJs, P. Reeds of the world. I mean, they could legit be on that front page leaderboard come Sunday, and that will have some people on the PGA Tour puckered up. Because if somebody finishes on the front page of the leaderboard, even if they don't win the darn thing, these other majors have yet to announce whether they're going to let them in or not. They got to, because people are going to be like, that's the best kind. Like, they're making a run. They're vying for a championship and on a major. So they haven't made that announcement. I think they probably will at some point, but they haven't yet. So, hey, I did have to make fun of you a little bit too about our round yesterday. Kyle lost his wedge. He did a faux pas. He lost it. I think I found it. But if you're an AU club member and you're listening, don't pick up Kyle's wedge and take it home. We got cameras out there. We got game cameras. We know. We're watching.
Yeah, I was playing terrible. I probably threw it around a little too much. So
you threw it, but that's not the hole you lost it on, I don't think. I think you used it again at another hole when you actually were behaving yourself. Probably felt bad for how bad you were playing before and cussing at me.
Yeah, cussing at you.
You were cussing me, cussing the sport, cussing the game, cussing your clubs.
I hated it.
Cussing the golf cart. You were just mad at everybody.
I hated every minute of that round. No, I'm just kidding. I had fun. I just was frustrated. I'd been playing good golf, and then I played really bad, and I probably just had too much to drink. More than likely, that's why I played bad. But anyway, we're gonna get out of here. It happens. We'll bounce back. So have a great week.
We'll talk on Wednesday. Let's see what happens. We'll maybe talk about a little bit more about Rory's win, or maybe his epic collapse. It would have to be an epic collapse. So y'all have a great start to week, and we'll talk back soon. It's episode 260 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. And we're
always stroking.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod, always stroking.